Alrighty. We're going to be turning in our Bibles this morning to Genesis chapter 5 with me. Genesis chapter 5. Genesis chapter 5. This morning we're going to be looking at the oldest man that ever lived in the Bible, Methuselah. Amen. I know we've often probably, Okay. Genesis chapter 5 with me. Genesis chapter 5. We're going to be looking at Methuselah this morning, the oldest man in the Bible. I know we've already, we've heard someone remark about someone who is old, or say they're as old as Methuselah, amen. We've probably heard that cliche. Well, he was the oldest man in the Bible, Methuselah. Genesis chapter 5 with me. We'll begin reading in verse 21 and following. In Enoch... lived 65 years and begot Methuselah. And Enoch walked with God after he begat Methuselah 300 years and begat sons and daughters. And all the days of Enoch were 365 years. And Enoch walked with God, and he was not, for God took him. And Methuselah lived 187 years and begat Lamech. And Methuselah lived after he begat Lamech 782 years and begat sons and daughters. And all the days of Methuselah were 969 years, and he died. So Methuselah lived to be 969 years old. Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, now, as we open up your word, we thank you for the blessing to have your inspired, inerrant, infallible word, the King James Bible, Father. We thank you for the saints of God that are here with us this morning. Father, we just pray that you'd open our hearts and minds to receive the engrafted word of God. Father, I pray that you'd take me out of the way, out of my flesh, fill me with the Spirit of God this morning, to give me the things that you'd have me to speak and preach this very day. Father, we pray, if there be a lost soul today that doesn't know the Lord Jesus Christ as their personal Savior, we pray this would be the very day that they would call upon the name of the Lord and receive eternal life. Father, now, we commit this precious time into thy hands. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. Genesis chapter 5. I don't know if any of you have done a study on the numbers in the Bible, but it's very interesting. The number 5 in the Bible, the majority of the time, is the number for death. Amen. And in keeping with that, we're here in Genesis chapter 5. And Genesis chapter 5 reads like an obituary column of the Old Testament. We see the expression over and over again throughout the chapter. For example, in verse number 5, it says, all the days that Adam lived were 930 years, and he died. All the way through, we see that expression, the number of years that the person lived, followed by those three words, and he died, and he died, and he died. And of course, this applies, and he died, it applies to everyone except one exception there, and that was Enoch. We see in Genesis chapter 5 here in verse 24, it says about Enoch, it says, and Enoch walked with God and was not, for God took him. Enoch in verse 23, it says, all the days of Enoch were 365 years. So he was 365 years, he walked with God, one day God just took him. He didn't physically die, just God just translated him up. Amen. He was no longer on the earth. He didn't physically die. Just God just took him up. And of course, we know in picture and type that that's a picture of the church, all the believers going out before the tribulation. We read also in Hebrews chapter 11 about Enoch. Enoch in chapter 11 of Hebrews, verse number 5. It says about Enoch in Hebrews 11, 5. It says, by faith, Enoch was translated that he should not see death, and was not found because God had translated him, for before his translation, he had this testimony that he pleased God. Amen. I pray that you and I can all have that testimony that we please God. But we see the average lifespan, if we were to go down through chapter 5 of Genesis, the average lifespan was much longer in those days than it is now. And if you think about this, remember when God created Adam and Eve, he created them, they were supposed to live forever. So if you take 900 years or even 1,000 years and you compare it to eternity, really 900 or 1,000 years compared to eternity, which is forever, is really nothing. Amen. Very small. But like I said as I began, Methuselah was the oldest of the oldest. Amen. The oldest of the old. He was the oldest man in the Bible. He lived to be 969 years old. Amen. Good thing there wasn't Social Security back then, because he probably would have bankrupted Social Security. Amen. Methuselah was of the line of faith. He was the son of Enoch. We know that Enoch was 65 years old when he begat Methuselah. And he was also the grandfather of Noah. Now, we read the verses this morning. There's only a very few short verses here in the entire Bible that talk about his birth, his life, and his death. But they speak volumes. These few words about him speak many things for us this morning. Every detail of this man's life is a revelation from God and has in them some spiritual lessons for you and I, as for us to learn this morning. And as we go through them, I pray that we would prayerfully consider them. Number one, we want to look at the meaning of his name, of Methuselah's name. The meaning of his name is, it says, when he is dead, it shall be sent. When he is dead, it shall be sent. And of course, the what it shall be sent is talking about the flood. So, in other words, this man, when he died, then the flood was to come. We see the naming of babies in the Bible times always had a special reason, a happening, a revelation connected with their life. For example, if we turn to Genesis chapter 10, in verse 25, we see something interesting. You know, when we get to reading genealogy sometimes in the Bible, you know, we say they're very boring, and why do we have to read them? And why did God, well, if God put them in there, first of all, it's every word in the Bible is important because it's God's word. But you have to be very careful when you read a genealogy, because God usually sneaks something in there, you know, that you'll just read right over. Now, looking in Genesis chapter 10, verse 25, as we're trying to bring out the point here that the naming of babies in the Bible times was very important. It had a special reason or some special connection or revelation connected with it. But looking in Genesis chapter 10 and verse 25 with me, it says, and unto Eber was born two sons. All right? The name of one was Peleg, or Peleg. And it says, now look at what it says after that. If you read right over it and you didn't see it, it says, for in his days was the earth divided. So what this is telling us, at one time, and of course, the so-called scientists are coming up with evidence, you know, why was this civilization that was over here found over here? And the answer being is because the world, the land masses were all connected at one time. Amen. But we see here that at some point it says, and Peleg's, in his days, the earth divided. Amen. The earth divided. You can imagine. Can you imagine you're talking to someone already, you're talking to someone like I am to you, and all of a sudden the earth starts to break and you're starting to wave bye-bye to them. Amen. That's what happened. It just completely divided. Amen. So it's very important, you know, when you read genealogies, to take a close look, because God always hides some nugget in there for us to see. Hence, the span of Methuselah's life was God's revelation of the coming judgment upon the world. Amen. So, when he died, there was a judgment to come. Amen. Each day that he lived, the judgment was put off. The Bible, okay, is God's revelation of another judgment of God. You know, That's the judgment that you and I are waiting for right now. We read in Jude verse 14 and 15, it talks about Enoch. It says, and Enoch also, the seventh from Adam, prophesied, and that's back in his day, of thee, saying, behold, the Lord cometh with 10,000 of his saints to execute judgment upon all and to convince all that are ungodly among them of all their ungodly deeds which they have ungodly committed and of all their hard speeches which ungodly sinners have spoken against him. Notice that word ungodly over and over and over again used in verse 15. Amen. Ungodly. That's what people are, the majority of people today in this world is. It's ungodly. Amen. Just as Methuselah's name was God's revelation to the world of the coming judgment upon the world, so now that we have the Bible and we read here, there's another greater tribulation coming, the great tribulation. Amen. You know, we go through this life and we think that the ungodly are not going to get their just reward, amen, or the just due. But we're going to see God's long-suffering for a reason. Revelations chapter 19, it tells us about this great judgment that's just about to fall, amen. Revelations 19, the Apostle John writes in Revelations 19, verse 11, and I saw heaven opened, and behold, a white horse. So John the Apostle sees this vision, amen. He sees heaven open, and behold, a white horse. And he that sat upon him was called Faithful and True. And in righteousness doth he judge and make war. So he saw this white horse, and he saw someone sitting upon it, and this person's name was Faithful and True. And then he describes the description of that person on the white horse in verse 12. His eyes were as a flame of fire, and on his head were many crowns, and he had a name written that no man knew but he himself. And he continues on with the description in verse 13, and he was clothed with a vesture, amen, dipped in blood, and his name is called the Word of God. And of course, we know that the Word of God in John chapter 1 tells us, in the beginning was the Word, amen, that's the Lord Jesus Christ. And the armies which were in heaven followed him upon white horses, clothed in fine linen, white and clean. Amen, that's you and I. We're coming back with the Word of God on white horses, amen. It's part of his army. And out of his mouth, in verse 15, goeth a sharp sword that with it he should smite the nations, and he shall rule them with a rod of iron. And he treadeth the winepress of the fierceness of the wrath of Almighty God, and he hath on his vestures and on his thigh a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. So we see Methuselah's life was God's revelation of a coming judgment, just as the Bible, amen, today is God's revelation of another judgment, the second coming, the second advent of the Lord Jesus Christ. And you and I are going to be coming back with him. So we see then the meaning of his name, Methuselah. When he is dead, it shall be sent, meaning the flood. Number two, we want to look at the moral conditions of the time Methuselah lived is very significant with the times that we live in today. In other words, the times that he lived in are very similar to the time that we're living in right now. Methuselah lived in a time of apostasy, sin, great wickedness before the flood of Noah. Amen. We read, let's go back to the book of Genesis, to Genesis chapter 6, and read of the description of the time that he lived in. We have to remember that Methuselah was the grandfather of Noah. And Genesis chapter 6, and it came in verse number 1, and it came to pass when men began to multiply on the face of the earth and daughters were born unto them. Here we are in verse number 2. That the sons of God saw the daughters of men, that they were fair, and they took them wives of all which they choose. The sons of God. We don't have a time to do a Bible study here. Amen. You can go back and check it on your own. But the sons of God were fallen angels. Amen. The angels that rebelled with Satan against God there. And what's happening here, we know as we read about angels. Amen. They appear. Amen. Angels are spirits, but they appear on this earth as men. And what these fallen angels were doing, they were coming down and cohabitating with human women, and they were having offspring. Talk about wickedness. Amen. Then we see, and the Lord said in verse 3, and the Lord said, my spirit shall not always strive with man, for that he is also flesh, yet his days shall be 120 years. And there were giants in the earth in those days, and also after that, when the sons of God came in unto the daughters of men, they bare children to them. The same became mighty men, which were of old, men of renown. Verse 5, and God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. All you have to do is turn on the TV. All you have to do is walk out there for just a second to see, amen, the wickedness. On how, as it says here, just today, it's the same way, that every imagination of the thoughts of the heart is evil continually with man today. It's the same way. So, as it was in the days of Methuselah, shall it be in our time, just preceding the next great judgment. Let's look at this in the scriptures. Matthew 24. Matthew chapter 24. Matthew chapter 24, the whole context of Matthew 24 talks about things leading up to the tribulation. Amen. The tribulation, amen. The second advent, amen. We read in Matthew chapter 24. Matthew chapter 24 and verse 37. But as the days of Noah, that's Noah, were so also the coming of the Son of Man be. The Son of Man, that's the Lord Jesus Christ. You see the term Son of Man connected with, he's the Son of God to you and I. The Son of Man is a term that's used in connection with Israel. The Son of Man, amen. The Son of Man. Because remember, he came, he was born of a virgin, amen. He was born of a virgin, amen. He was a seed of God, amen. But he came from had a fleshly body, so we see that Son of Man. For as in the days that were before the flood, they were eating, drinking, and marrying, and given in marriage until the day that Noah entered into the ark, and knew not until the flood came and took them all away, so also the coming of the Son of Man shall be. So they were eating and drinking, and just as we're eating and people eating and drinking today, and going about their business, amen, and not suspecting anything was going to happen, amen. The same thing in Methuselah's or Noah's day, amen. But we see some signs, amen, over in 2 Thessalonians with me now, just for a second. 2 Thessalonians talks about, amen, okay, we read in Matthew about the things, ordinary things that people were doing back in Noah's day and Methuselah's day, and they're doing the same thing there. But we read in Genesis chapter 6 just a moment ago how there was great wickedness there. The same thing here we see in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse number 3. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse number 3. Paul writes to the church at Thessalonica, let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come. Okay, this is what he's talking about, the judgment, amen, the tribulation, except there come a falling away first, and that son of sin, that man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition. A falling away, that's apostasy. He's not talking about the liberal churches today. He's not talking about the Robert Schulers and the Norman Vincent Peales. He's talking about Bible-believing, Bible-preaching churches are going to fall away. Amen. That's going to happen first. And we see signs of it happening right now. Amen. We read about some other signs that we can agree upon that's happening right now. Look it over in 2 Timothy chapter 3 with me. 2 Timothy chapter 3. We're near the end, folks. We're near the end. I really believe that we may be raptured out of here, amen. We may not even see physical death, all of us here that are here this morning. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse number 1. This know also that in the last days perilous times shall come. And he gives a list of what he means. For men shall be lovers of their own selves. Is that not a characteristic of today? Covetousness, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy. All characteristics of today, amen. Verse 3, without natural affection, amen. Parents are killing their children, amen. Every day we hear of a child being beaten by their parents or killed by their parents or a child killing their parents. Without natural affection, truce breakers, false, accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, amen. Traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness but denying the power thereof. That's religion today, amen. It has this form of godliness, amen, be it the Roman Catholic Church, be it the charismatic movement, whatever it may be, the promise keepers, you name it, it has a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof, then Paul writes, from such turn away. We're to turn away from all of that. We're not to have any part of that. But see, that's what's happening. You're getting this one world, you know, peace movement, amen. So we see then, the moral conditions, as we look at Methuselah, in his days, just before the flood, is the same way right now. Of course, God said he wouldn't destroy this earth by flood again, amen. But there's a judgment coming. We don't hear it preached about anymore. You know, it's not being preached about anymore. Because people don't want to offend anybody, amen. They don't want to preach about sin and judgment and all that. But the Word of God, it hasn't changed. God's Word has stayed the same, amen. It's still in the Bible. That judgment's coming, amen. We see number 3. That Methuselah was a sign from God to the people of the coming judgment. Because they were told, watch this man, for when he is dead, it shall be sent. The flood, in other words. And how they must have watched this man's every action when he gets sick. Is this going to be it? Is it going to be over now? Is he going to die now? Is this when the judgment's coming? They watched every move that he made, wondering when he would die. He was God's sign for people to watch. He was God's sign for people to watch. When they knew when he died, that's when judgment would come. Amen. Just as God has given you and I some signs to watch, that we might know the time of his soon coming and judgment upon the world. Again, Matthew chapter 24 talks about so many signs. Amen. The signs that are given to us. We see in Matthew 24, Jesus said unto them in verse number 2, see ye not all these things? Verily I say unto you, there shall not be left here one stone upon another that shall not be thrown down. And as he sat upon the Mount of Olives, the disciples came unto him privately, saying, tell us, when shall these things be? What shall be the sign of thy coming and of the end of the world? Amen. And then all the way down through the chapter, amen, he lists a bunch of things. We're not going to go verse by verse, but I'll just give you a few. He says there'll be great wickedness. Amen. Great wickedness. That's what we have today. Just look around us today. Again, read a newspaper. Amen. That's all it is wickedness. Amen. Even the advertisement is wickedness today. All it has to do is sex. Sex, amen. All your advertisement, amen. We see there's going to be a great departure from the faith, amen. You're going to see churches like us. They're going to be fewer and fewer and fewer. And churches like ours here, they're going to be around, but they're going to stop preaching the truth, amen. Amen. Because they want to stay in business and they want to attract the big crowds, amen, and make the money. Coldness in the churches. Coldness. Amen. Coldness. Verse 12 of Matthew 24, because iniquity shall abound, the love of money shall wax cold. Because of the great wickedness, there's not going to be the love in the churches anymore. Coldness. There'll be an antichrist, amen. The man of sin will appear, amen. We have the sign of the return of the Jews to their homeland. This has already started, amen. In 1948, we see the state of Israel was created. Okay? And Jews have been going back home ever since. And you're going to see more and more and more Jews returning to their homeland. More and more. And then we read through that, we read through the chapter and we'll see there'll be nations against nations and there'll be famines and pestilence. I mean, every day you pick up, you know, you hear about this latest strain of salmonella, amen, which is food poisoning and that antibiotics can't take care of anymore. Amen. I mean, we just pick each day something new comes. Pestilence. Look at all the crazy weather we're having. That's not a fluke. Amen. That's judgment. That's judgment upon America. That's judgment upon the world. He's coming. He said he's coming back. He's coming. He's trying to get people's attention. Amen. He doesn't throw, little bit by little bit, he's trying to get people to repent, to turn to him, amen. We see these tremendous floods and then out in North Dakota and then a great blast of cold air and things just freezing up and livestock and everything getting caught in the water, amen. It's judgment. Judgment, amen. That's what it is, judgment. So we see the sign. Just as Methuselah was a sign to the people that back then, the judgment was coming, amen. God has given you and I and the rest of the world, amen, signs to know of his coming judgment, amen. The frequency of earthquakes is one of them. There's more earthquakes than there ever been, amen, recorded. All of these things are to tell us that he hasn't given up. He's coming back. He is near, amen. We see also the effect. We want to look, number four, the effect of Methuselah had on those that believed is an illustration of the effect of God's revelation has upon believers today. In other words, because, amen, they knew judgment was coming because of Methuselah and his name and so forth and so on, it affected how believers back then lived. Just like you and I today, we know God's judgment's going to fall, amen. So we should be, it should affect our lives in some way, should it not? We're told, for example, it's interesting there back in Genesis chapter 5, talking about how Methuselah affected the lives of those that believe back. We talk about Enoch. Enoch in Genesis chapter 5 lived 65 years. He was 65 years old. And he begat Methuselah. We don't know if he had any other children or so forth and so on before Methuselah, but we're just told here he lived 65 years and begat Methuselah. Then in the next verse, in verse 22, Enoch walked with God. When? After he begat Methuselah. Not before. So somehow his child, this baby boy, had an effect on Enoch's life, and it was probably because of the God gave him the name of this child, amen, and it meant when he dies, it shall be sent, the flood, the judgment's coming. So obviously it had an effect on Enoch, because we're told that he walked with God after he begat Methuselah 300 years. and he begat sons and daughters. And all the days of Enoch were 365 years, and the Lord took him, because he walked with God. So obviously it affected Enoch greatly, of knowing that the coming judgment, amen, was coming to live for God. In fact, he didn't have to take part of this judgment, amen. He wasn't part of it. He was taken up before it came. We're also told that Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord, amen. In Genesis chapter 6, verse 8, we're told that Noah was a just man, imperfect in his generation, and Noah walked with God. So obviously, not only was Enoch affected, but Noah, amen, who was the grandson of Methuselah. It affected him. He walked with God. He found grace in the eyes of God, amen. So as we consider this, amen, as we consider this, the judgment that's coming, it should have effect on our lives as believers and how we serve God. It's a warning that he's coming, that Jesus is coming back someday. His coming is near. Amen. But praise God, just like Enoch, who is a picture or type of the church, and he was completely taken out, amen, before the flood even came. Praise God, the Bible teaches that you and I are going to be taken out before the great tribulation period, amen. We're not going to see it all at all, amen. But we should be living for him, amen. We should be living for him. Even though we're not going to hit the judgment, we're going to still hit the judgment seat of Christ as believers, not for salvation, but what we did for him on this earth. And part of our, what we should be doing is telling others of the impending judgment that's to come if they don't get right with God, amen. Because quite possibly the people that are alive today will experience, if they don't get right with God and trust Jesus Christ as their personal Savior, will go through the tribulation period. We see number five, the time of Methuselah's death was unknown. Hence the judgment was not known, the flood. In other words, they knew when this man died the flood was going to come, but they didn't know the day. They didn't know the hour, amen, of when this man was going to die. So it is with the coming of Christ and the day of judgment for this earth. Amen. We're told in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 2, that he's going to come as a thief in the night. Amen. A thief doesn't call you and I up and tell you that he's going to rob your house, leave the door open. No, he breaks in when we least expect it. Amen. Jesus is going to come back. Amen. When you least expect it, amen. Just like Methuselah, they didn't know when he was going to die. All they knew when he died, the judgment was coming, the flood was coming, amen. As we read earlier in Matthew 24 and verse 39, and knew not until the flood came and took them all away, so also shall the coming of the Son of Man be. It's going to come, it's going to fall quickly, amen. It may be at any time. It's near, amen. It's near. It's in our time. It's in our generation. It's going to fall, amen. The signs are there, amen. The Jews are returning to Israel, and they have been since 1948, amen. So we see then the time of Methuselah's death was unknown. Just like today, the day and the time of the Lord's return is unknown. Also, we want to see, number six, as we go down through this, the length of Methuselah's life reveals the long-suffering and love of God. You know what he's doing? God is long-suffering, and he's given people extra time to repent. We read over there in 1 Peter chapter 3, verse number 20. First Peter chapter 3, verse number 20, it says, which sometimes were disobedient when once the long-suffering of God waited in the days of Noah while the ark was preparing, wherein few, that is, eight souls were saved by water. Amen. He gave them a sign all along the way. Here was Noah building that ark. building that ark day in and day out. People went by. You know, instead of saying, well, wait a minute. You know, they mocked and laughed at him instead of saying, well, maybe something's up here. Why would this guy be building this big, huge boat? Amen. You know, he could have, if he wanted to, he probably could have had Noah built that in a year. But it was years before that ark was built because of the long suffering of God. The longer he lived, Methuselah lived, there was more time to repent before the judgment. Even so, today, the long suffering of God is revealed, amen, because he keeps delaying. He keeps giving sinners more time to repent, because it's his will that none should repent. 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 9, says, the Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to us would that he's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. That's why he keeps delaying. He's long-suffering. Amen. He keeps delaying. Why does Christ delay his coming? Why does he put off his judgment? Why does he withhold that judgment? Amen. Why does he allow the sin, the lost to continue in their sin and go on and on like there's no end? Why doesn't he just cut them off like you and I, you know? You and I, oh, I'd like to cut that jerk off, amen. They should get it right now, amen. Why? Because of the grace and the love and the goodness and the long-suffering of God. Thank God he was long-suffering, amen, because we got in. You know, thank God there was time for us that we repented of our sins and we trusted Jesus Christ as our personal Savior as believers, amen. Praise God for that. Praise God that he wasn't quick to execute judgment like you and I are upon our fellow human beings. We also want to see what, number 7, the death of Methuselah shows God's suffering and grace ending. It's only for a time. It's not forever, amen. Okay? We read in Genesis chapter 5, verse 27 about Methuselah. It gave the years of his life. He lived to be 969 years. And then we see those three words again, and he died. He died. And then soon after he died, the flood came with a fury. And when he died, the day of grace was over for the people to prepare. Amen. In Proverbs chapter 1, in verse 24, and following. Proverbs chapter 1, verse 24, it says, because I have called, and ye refused, I have stretched out my hand, and no man regarded. But ye have set it not all my counsel. It would none of my reproof. That's what God is doing right now. He's calling to people through the Holy Spirit. Amen. But they're refusing. I don't want any part of it. I don't want to be saved. Amen. He's stretching out. Christ is stretching out his hands to every individual here and watching and around this world. But they want no part of it. In other words, but ye have set it not all my counsel. It would none of my reproof. See, when you go and witness to people, that's God's counsel. But people don't want any part of it. They don't want to hear about sin and how they're a sinner. They don't want God's counsel. And then he says, verse 25, I also will laugh at your calamity. I will mock when your fear cometh. When your fear cometh as desolation, and your destruction cometh as a whirlwind, when distress and anguish cometh upon you. That's what it was in the day of Noah's flood. Can you imagine when it started to pour and rain, and they were trying to get in that ark, and they were screaming and hollering, let us in? Its judgment's going to come suddenly and fast. Amen. Then shall they call upon me, but I will not answer. They shall seek me early, but they shall not find me. It's going to be too late. This is the time. God's trying to call out to you folks. Amen. Wants you to be saved. The judgment is coming. When the judgment comes, it's going to be too late. He's not going to hear you. For that they hated knowledge and did not choose the fear of the Lord. They would none of my counsel, and they despised all my reproof. Therefore shall they eat of the fruit of their own way and be filled with their own devices. Amen. You don't want God? Amen. You want your own ways, your own devices? That's what's going to be your ruin. He's coming. It's coming fast. When Methuselah died, amen, the flood came, and the day of grace was over for those who failed to go into the ark. God basically not only shut the ark, the door of the ark, amen, he shut the door. He shut the door of opportunity for people to get right with him, amen, and it's going to be right now, very soon. He's going to shut that door. We've got the door is wide open, amen. The door is wide open to anyone that wants to be saved. But someday that day, that judgment's going to come and that door is going to be shut and it's going to be over. And when death comes, the day of grace is over and there is no remedy. Proverbs chapter 29 verse 1 says, "He that being often reproved, harden his neck, shall suddenly be destroyed, and that without remedy." How many times have you heard the gospel? How many times has someone witnessed to you? But you've hardened your neck. You've hardened your heart. And as a result of that, suddenly destruction will come upon you and there'll be no remedy. Amen. Despite what all the other religions in the world teach you, there will be no second chance. There will be no second chance when judgment comes, when you die. Amen. There'll be no second chance. Book of Proverbs tells us again, in Proverbs chapter 11, verse 7, it says, "When a wicked man dieth, his expectation shall perish, and the hope of the unjust man perisheth." There's no second chance. You know, you may be holding out, well, when I die, I'll deal with it then. God will understand. He'll give me a second chance. Everything will be all right. Baloney. That's not what the Bible says. This is your window of opportunity to get right with God, to get saved, to avoid the judgment, amen. There's going to be no second chance. So we see, not only does Methuselah's life reveal the long suffering of God back then in Noah's day, and also we see the long suffering of God, but also we see that eventually this age of grace, God's long suffering is going to end, and there's going to be a pouring out of tribulation upon this earth that it says in the Bible that's never been seen before. Finally, we see the death of Methuselah shows God keeps his promises both to the lost world and to his own. He finally died, and judgment came as he revealed. So the judgment of God and the coming of Christ will finally come as he promised, though the scoffers mocked. You know, Peter wrote back there in 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 3. 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 3. "Knowing this first, that there shall come in the last day scoffers walking after their own lusts and saying, where is the promise of his coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of the creation." There are churches that have given up preaching on the second coming of Christ, the second advent, the tribulation. Amen. They've given up. He's not coming back. Amen. They don't believe the Bible anymore. They'll say, well, where is he? They scoff. Where is he? That's all we have today is scoffers today. Where is he? He said he was coming back. He's not coming back. I can live the way I want to live. That's a bunch of baloney. That's a bunch of religious junk. Amen. That's just stuff to put a guilt trip on people. Amen. Oh yeah, let's see what it says in Revelation chapter 6. Revelation Revelation chapter 6, the last verse, verse 17. Look at what it says. Revelation 6, verse 17. This is what I say to the scoffers. The Bible says in Revelation 6, verse 17, "For the great day of his wrath is come, and who shall be able to stand?" No one. But Christ will keep his promise to you and I. Christ will also come for his own through his long suffering towards the lost, makes it seem very long. You know, some days we'd say, you know, "Even so, come, Lord Jesus." We want him to come back today. Right now would make me very happy. I hope it would make you very happy if he came. There's nothing on this earth. Look around. There's nothing left. It stinks. It's putrid. It's wicked. Amen. But he hasn't given up. His promise is still true. Amen. And he wants us to be comforted with the words of his coming. Over there in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, Paul wrote to the believers at Thessalonica because they were concerned about believers that have already physically died. He said, "But I would not have you ignorant," in verse 13 of 1 Thessalonians 4. First Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 13. You should know these verses, amen, at least where they are if you don't have them memorized, because you need to go to them and realize that God is going to keep his promise. "But I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which were asleep, that you sorrow not, even as others which have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which were are asleep." In other words, because we're alive, those that are dead in Christ, we're not going to prevent them from coming up, amen. "For the Lord himself," here's the promise, "for the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. So shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words." If you need comfort today, comfort yourself with these words. He's not giving up. He's coming back. He's got his word on it, amen. Someday, if you die in Christ, you're coming up out of the grave. If you're still alive when he returns, you're going to go up and never see the grave. Hallelujah. He's coming back. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 37 tells you and I just to be patient. Be patient. For it says, "For yet a little while, for yet a little while, and he that shall come will come and will not tarry." As we conclude, we want to say, those here and watching, just be sure that you're ready against the day of his coming, the day of his judgment, and the day of your death. Matthew 24, verse 44 says, "Therefore be also ready, for in such an hour as you think not, the Son of Man cometh." If you're not saved, don't put it off. Don't put off being saved. Don't say, "I'll do it another time," or "I'll wait later on," or so forth and so on. The Bible tells us right now is the time. Behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. Amen. We know it's God's will. He's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Amen. The will of God for your life and for my life is to be saved, is to be born again. Amen. Of the Spirit of God. I pray, if you're watching, amen, today, that you'll take the word of God to heart. Just as there were a few in Methuselah's day that took his name, took his life to heart. Amen. Just like his name was a revelation in the days to those people there. Amen. That when he died, the flood, the judgment was coming, although the majority of people didn't heed it. Amen. Just wait, just like today, the Bible is God's revelation to you and I. The judgment is coming. The judgment is coming. But the judgment doesn't have to fall upon you, because the Lord Jesus Christ came from the glory of heaven and he took on the form of a man. Amen. And he suffered and he bled and he died for your sins and my sins and for the sins of the whole world. Amen. He was the payment. All you have to do is receive the payment and acknowledge in your heart, amen, that you're a sinner. Amen. If you don't acknowledge you're a sinner, you're not going to get saved. Because why do you need Jesus? The Bible says, we've all sinned and come short of the glory of God. There is none righteous, no, not one. Every one of us is born a sinner. And you need Jesus Christ to save you. He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Everyone needs to come to the Father in one way, and that's through Jesus Christ. And you can call me narrow-minded and whatever you want, but that's what the Word of God says. Jesus plus or minus nothing. It's Jesus and Jesus alone that saves. If you've never called upon the name of Jesus to save you, won't you do that today? Let's bow our heads for a word of prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for the Word of God. We thank you for this illustration of Methuselah and his name, Father, and the things we learned about his life. I pray each and every one of us would take it to heart to realize that just in Methuselah's day, after his death, that there was a judgment. Just like there's going to be a judgment on this earth and upon its people like it's never been before, Lord, we just pray that people would get saved. They'd call upon the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. They'd call out to God to save them from their wickedness and from their sins and turn and repent and receive Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. Father, as we come to our song of invitation, we just pray, as always, you'd have your will and your way. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen.